You know, we don't really realize, I think, how much our moms do or how much our wives do until, for whatever reason, they're kind of out of the picture for a little bit. We experienced that in our home a couple weeks ago when my wife was in the hospital. I guess it would be last week when Tracy was in the hospital. She's all well now. She's doing great. Thank the Lord for that. But when we first went to the hospital, we had to wait in the waiting room for a little while at the emergency department. And I got to see The Price is Right, which was like I hadn't seen forever, you know. I thought Bob Barker was selling The Price is Right. The fact that many of you know that he's not makes me wonder what you do at 11 o'clock every weekday. And so, you know, Price is Right. And okay, I knew that one. But the one show that I hadn't seen in like forever, I mean a long, long time, is Let's Make a Deal, right? Let's Make a Deal. Y'all know that? In fact, I thought, really, it would have been kind of cool if we'd have done this morning, like, let's make a deal, right? We'd bring Jess up here. Well, Jess, do you want what's in the bag, or do you want what's behind the door, you know? And behind the door, we can have her husband smiling, you know, with a, oh, I don't know. The whole let's make a deal, and I hadn't seen it forever, but people dress up in these crazy, weird costumes. They try to get called to the stage by the host. And then the host wants to make a deal with them. Now, here's what I discovered about the show. It's based on two very primal sort of instincts or feelings. It's based on greed and regret, right? Those two things. Let's Make a Deal is based on greed and regret, because they'll give you something, a bird in the hand, and then they ask you if you want the two that are in the bush. And you've got to make a decision. Do you want what's in the host's pocket, or do you want what's behind door number two? Or, you know, he'll hand you cash. He'll say, now here's $1,000. You can have $1,000. You can have what's behind curtain number one. And those of you who watch this show all the time know that they have sometimes really good things behind curtain number one and sometimes really bad things behind curtain number one. And the whole object of the show is to make sure that somebody just said zonk. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You want to avoid the zonk. David is an expert. You want to avoid the zonk because the zonk means that you lose, right? So you don't want to trade the $1,000 and then find out that behind curtain number one is half of a car, half of a 1972 Plymouth, right? But at other times, here's where they get you. They always show you the path not taken. Always, every single time. So if you say, you know what, I'm just going to keep the $1,000, then they open curtain number one, and there's like a brand new Honda, you know. The whole show is based on the premise of regret. All of us have regrets to one extent or another. And we know this because it's been extensively researched. We know that people have regrets. This has been exhaustively researched. The top six regrets are these. And there are multiple peer-reviewed studies that verify these. Here are the top six regrets: education, career, romance, parenting, self, and leisure. So all of us probably can find some place in there where we regret something. We regret the education that we got or didn't get. We regret the career path that we took. We regret that we didn't take enough time off for leisure, right? We just worked all the time. The top six regrets. Now, the rankings are a little bit different for college students. And I know our college students, they just had finals at MSU last week. I think Great Lakes Christian College has finals coming up this week. College students tend to have different regrets, and that makes sense because they're at a different place in life. Here's the top six college student regrets. Number one, romance. Whether you had it or didn't have romance, I'm not sure. Two, friends, education, leisure, self, and career. And a lot of times we find ourselves experiencing regrets in one of these six areas. And if it's not one of these six, there are plenty of other places where you and I can experience regret. One of the top TED Talks, I don't know if you watch TED Talks on the internet, but TED stands for Technology, Entertainment, and Design. And they bring some of the world's best communicators together, and they put on these talks, then they put them on the internet. One of the top TED Talks with 1.5 million hits is a talk by a journalist named Catherine Schultz, where she talks about regretting regret. And specifically, she talks about regretting the tattoo that she got. And it's interesting because in that talk, she identifies the four stages of regret that people experience when they regret something. And it's interesting because they are similar to the stages of grief. The four stages of regret are these: denial, bewilderment, punishment, and then something called perseveration. So what are those? Denial. I can't believe I did that. Just make it go away, right? Make it go away. Bewilderment is, how could I have done that? How could I have been so stupid as to do something like that? But persecution or punishment. In fact, we use words that sound like punishment when we talk about regret, right? We say something like, I could just kick myself when we talk about regret. Punishment is one of those stages. And then that fourth one is perseveration. And that's where many of us experience problems when we encounter regret. Perseveration, big, long, fancy word. I had to look it up. It simply means to obsessively focus on something over and over and over. So in this instance, perseveration means that we do 1, 2, and 3 in an endless cycle. Denial, bewilderment, punishment. Denial, bewilderment, punishment. And that's where many of us get tripped up in this area of regrets. We cannot break that cycle. We play 1, 2, and 3 on an endless loop over and over and over. Now, here's another way that I like to think of this idea of perseverance. It helps me understand it. Every car comes standard with a rearview mirror. And the purpose of that mirror is so that you can, from time to time, glance in the mirror and monitor what's taking place behind you. Also, you use that mirror when you're backing up so that you can see where you're going. Some of you use that mirror when you're parallel parking. Some of you drive around the block and try to find a place where you don't have to parallel park, right? That's what we use the mirror for. We glance. It's a quick look. We monitor what's behind us. Perseveration is when you cannot take your eyes off the rearview mirror. You're looking at it all the time. Your attention gets stuck in the rearview mirror. And for many, many people, regret is like that. Our eyes are fixed on the rearview mirror, and consequently, we cannot see the way forward. There are two kinds of regrets that people experience. Some people regret the things that they have done. I wish I hadn't done that. I can't believe I did that. So, for example, I wish I had chosen the career that I wanted instead of the career that my parents insisted that I choose. I wish that I had never taken that first drink. I wish that I had never smoked that first cigarette. I regret the things that I've done. I wish that I hadn't gotten that tattoo. 17% of Americans, studies tell us, regret the tattoo or regret a tattoo that they have gotten at some point. But, you know, those are, they can go much, much deeper. Like, I regret the abortion that I had. I regret the devastating words that I spoke that fractured that relationship. And many of us, the regrets that we have are centered on the things that we have done. Now, that's just one kind of regret, the things that we have done. But far many more people, and research tells us, the regrets that bother us more aren't the things that we did. The regrets that stick with us the most and that tend to bother us the most are the regrets, our regrets centered around things that we didn't do. Missed opportunities. Those missed opportunities oftentimes are the regrets that stick with us the longest. Things like, I wish I had stayed in school and completed my degree. I wish that I had asked her out. Or maybe I wish that I had said yes and that I'd gone out with him. Or maybe it's the reconciliation that you never pursued, and now that person's gone, and death has taken away from you the opportunity to make things right. And here's why this is so important. Here's why it's so critical that we take a look at this whole area of regret and that we deal with it. Because if you're stuck in the past, you cannot move forward. And regret that plays in your mind, regret that's an endless loop that goes over and over and over, can paralyze you and keep you from moving forward. It's like when you're driving down the road, if you focus all of your attention on the rearview mirror and you're not looking out the windshield, eventually what's going to happen? You're going to wreck. And regret can do that. The good news is, it is possible for us to break the cycle of regret. It is possible for you to get past your past. It's possible for you to leave your regrets behind and to move forward. There's a process that you and I can use in order to get past our past, in order to get beyond our regrets and move forward. And today, we're going to begin that process. Today, we're going to learn about step one. And I'm going to be completely candid with you. You're not going to leave here today with four easy steps to get over it. We're not going to tie anything up with a neat little bow today so that you can leave here and say, oh, I'm so glad I've finally figured out how to get past that thing that I did, or I finally figured out how to get over that thing that I didn't do. That's not what today is about. Today is about step one, and in complete honesty, you might leave here today feeling a little bit worse than when you came. Because today, this step one in this process, today's step is all about looking back, and it's all about reflecting. And so you've got to come back. I'm just telling you, man, I hope you come back next week and the week after that and the week after that. I hope you're here for the next 3 weeks, because these 4 weeks, I think, could be the most important weeks of your life in terms of you learning how to get over the regrets that plague you. And so if you can't come next week, make sure you get online at our website, seekstudyserve.org, and listen to the message. Make sure you download our podcast. Make sure you go to our app on your mobile device, and you listen, because these four steps are going to help you get over the things that plague you, those things that you can't get past. We're going to start today in a tiny letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to one of his proteges, a man named Titus. Paul was a missionary. He traveled all around the Mediterranean basin in the first century. And he planted churches, and he told people about Jesus, and he trained leaders. And he was a mentor to many young men, and Titus was one of those young men. Paul was a man of Jewish background. He was a Christian. He was a follower of Jesus who came from a Jewish background. Titus was a follower of Jesus who came from a non-Jewish background. And yet the two of them bonded together. They became fast friends as mentor and as protege. Here's the thing. They both had regrets. They both had things they wish they hadn't done. And in Titus chapter 3, Paul makes it clear that the two of them are in the same boat, and frankly, the same boat that you and I are in. Titus chapter 3, verse 3. Here's what Paul says. Once we too were foolish and disobedient. We were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of envy, full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. Now, there's something about this particular verse that's always confused me. It's not that Paul points out that we were full of evil or that we were full of envy. It's not that Paul points out that we were enslaved by our lusts. It's not that Paul points out that we're sinful people. That doesn't surprise me. That doesn't confuse me. What confuses me is that Paul says we all used to be that way. And here's why that confuses me. Because it sort of contradicts something, or at least it would seem to contradict something, that Paul writes in another one of his letters. Paul seems to be doing something in his letter to Titus that in his letter to the church at Philippi he says he doesn't do. And so I'm a little puzzled by that. Paul writes this letter to the church at Philippi, and here's what he says. In chapter 3, verse 13, he says, I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Herein lies the confusion for me. Because, you know, I want to say, okay, which is it, Paul? Because on the one hand, you're saying, I forget the past and I focus on the future. I focus on what lies ahead. The stuff that's in the past is in the past. I forget it. I'm moving forward. I'm focusing on the future. But on the other hand, Paul's writing this list of the past mistakes that he's made and the past mistakes that Titus has made, and frankly, the mistakes we've all made. We too were foolish, we were disobedient, we were misled, we became slaves to lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. So which is it, Paul? Are you forgetting the past, or are you remembering the past? Paul kind of doubles down, actually, in another of his letters. Similar to what he writes to Titus, he writes to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 2, he tells them, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. So on the one hand, Paul says, hey, this is the one thing I do. I focus on this one thing. I forget what is behind and I focus on what lies ahead. But on the other hand, in a letter to the church at Ephesus and a letter to the church at Philippi, you know, or a letter to Titus, Paul lays out sort of this list of things that he used to do and that we all used to do. And in fact, Paul says to this church at Ephesus, he said, there are two kinds of people. There are two kinds of people. There are those who are dead in their sins, and there are those who used to be dead in their sin. We're all represented in this room. Some of us are dead in our sin. We've not yet come to Christ and received forgiveness for our sin. Some of us used to be dead in our sin because we followed Jesus and now we're forgiven for our sin. And, you know, when we talk about that word sin, we can get really uncomfortable. Some of you might be thinking, hey, listen, Frank, here's the deal. I mean, I've made some mistakes in my life. Maybe some things I regret, but sin is a pretty strong word. I mean, Paul's talking about evil. He's talking about envy. He's talking about being enslaved to lusts and pleasures. I mean, sin is a really strong word. That word that we translate sin comes from a Greek word, which the Greek word is hamartia, and it's a term, it's an archery term. And that word literally means miss, to miss. I think of it this way. When I was a kid, we used to have the game Battleship. Everybody used to play Battleship, right? Where, you know, you call out those little coordinates and you put those little pegs and maybe you hit a battleship. And when we'd play that game, you know, I'd say like C4 and my dad would say either hit or he would say miss. If we were Greek, he'd say whatever the Greek word for hit is and then he'd say hamartia, right? That's all it means. It means miss. In other words, any time that you're aiming for God's best in your life, any time you're aiming for what God wants for you, that's the target. God's best for your life is what you're aiming for, and you miss that target, that's sin. That's hamartia. And Paul says, every one of us used to do that. Now, it's just like regrets. Sometimes the sin, sometimes the misses in your life are the things that you did that you wish you hadn't done. And sometimes the misses in your life are the things that you didn't do that you wish you had done. If you come from a high church background, you maybe learned them as sins of commission and sins of omission. And here's the problem with that. Some of you cannot get past your sin. You can't get past your sin, and there are probably one or maybe two reasons why that is the case. Either you can't get past your sin because you've not asked God for forgiveness, and so you have not felt His forgiveness. That might be why. You can't get past your regret. You can't get past your sin because you've never said, God, forgive me. Maybe you felt like it's just too much to ask. Maybe you felt like he wouldn't forgive you, and so you didn't take the risk. But you didn't ask God to forgive you, and so you haven't felt his forgiveness. And so those regrets there in the back of your mind, they're there all the time. They kind of overshadow your life. You can't get past your past. Now, some of you have asked God to forgive you, and you have, in fact, received his forgiveness, but for whatever reason, you've not forgiven yourself. You can't get past your past. You're stuck looking in that rearview mirror, playing that cycle of, you know, bewilderment and punishment over and over and over in your head. Because even though you've asked for God for forgiveness and he's forgiven you, you can't forgive yourself. And I'm here to tell you today that there is a solution. There is a solution. And it starts with taking a look back. It starts with looking in the rearview mirror. So when Paul says, this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and focusing on what was ahead, that doesn't mean that Paul never reflects on his past. In fact, over and over in Paul's letters, we see him reflecting on his past. I used to be this way, but now because of the grace of God, I'm that way. I used to live like that, but now I live like this. Paul references his past frequently, and just as you and I ought to, from time to time, we glance up into the rearview mirror to remind ourselves from whence we've come and to see if there's any danger close behind. And that's the start for you and me. We have got to learn to look at the rearview mirror and reference from whence we've come. Some of us never do that. Some of us never look behind. We never really reflect on what's behind us. For some of us, it might be because you're afraid. It might be because you're afraid of what's behind you. It's like that old Far Side cartoon. You remember, I used to be a fan of Gary Larson in the Far Side, where, you know, objects in the mirror may be closer than they appear, right? And so we're afraid to look behind. We're afraid to look behind because we might see this trail of wreckage behind us. And so we never look behind. And because we never look behind, we never deal with the stuff that's in our past. And so it always seems to be creeping up on us and catching up to us. And we sort of feel its presence, even though we don't acknowledge it. We know it's just kind of behind us, nagging in the back of our minds. But I think most of us, the reason most of us don't reflect on what's behind us is because we just don't slow down enough. I mean, when you're driving down the road, I'm not in Australia. When you're driving down the road, right, you can't be like staring at the mirror. The only way you can really get a clear picture of what's behind you is to stop long enough and put the car in park and really take a look at your past. And I think one of the reasons why many of us never get past our past, why we're never able to deal with the regret in our lives, is because we've never stopped long enough to really acknowledge your sin. And here's the deal. Either you will acknowledge your sin or you'll be anchored to your sin. Those are your two choices. You can acknowledge your past or you'll be anchored to your past. And that's step one. The first step in overcoming regret, the first step in overcoming those things you wish you hadn't done or those things that you wish you had done, the first step is to acknowledge your sin, to stop long enough to look in the rearview mirror at your past. And here's why that's important. Acknowledging your sin says, I did that. But if you're anchored to your sin, it says, I am that. When you acknowledge your sin, you will find the path to salvation. But if you are anchored to your sin, that's the path to shame. Being anchored to your sin will keep you in chains. But when you acknowledge your sin, you've taken the first step on the path that leads to freedom. So here's your assignment this week. Here's what I want you to do this week. Get someplace quiet. Someplace where you can think, someplace where you can pray, someplace where you can reflect. And spend some time looking in the rearview mirror. You might have to adjust it to see everything. Spend some time asking yourself, where are those places in my life where I've really missed? Where I was aiming for what God wanted and I just missed it. In fact, you can make a list if you want. And here's what I would recommend you do. Just use that Titus 3:3. There are seven things that Titus lists there. Just make a list of, and you know, categories. Okay, where are those times where I was foolish? Where are those times where I was disobedient? Where were those times where I became slaves to lusts and pleasures? Those times where my life was evil, or where my actions were evil? And where were those times where I was envious? Where were those times that I expressed hate instead of love? You can start with those seven categories from Titus chapter 3, verse 3, and begin to seriously look at the things in your life, the places where you've messed up, the things that you regret. Because acknowledgement is the first step to experiencing freedom. And here's why. The only way to get there is to first know where here is. If there is freedom, you gotta know where you're starting from. The only way to get there is to first define here. And so this week, you know what? When you leave, find a quiet place, find a quiet time, and spend some time looking backwards. Now, I want to give you a preview of what you're going to see next week when you come. Titus chapter 3, verse 3, and then verse 4-ish, right? But once we too were foolish and disobedient, we were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of envy and evil. We hated each other. That's what's in the rearview mirror. The next word in verse 4 is huge. Paul writes, But. There is a solution. But you don't have to keep looking in the rearview mirror. You can learn how to look out the windshield. But you don't have to dwell in the past. You can look forward. Wally's just going to lead us in a closing song that I think really expresses this really, really well. And I had the lyrics pulled up on my phone. And my phone denied me. I love this chorus. It says, "Your grace so free washes over me. You've made me new. Now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You've made us new. Life begins with you." That's all encapsulated in that one little word, but. And when you come back next week, that's what we're going to be focusing on. This week, it's all about inventory. Next week, it's all about celebratory. As Wally leads us in this song, you'll see scattered throughout the room some of our elders and prayer team. They're going to be wearing these blue lanyards, and we'd invite you just to find one of them. Maybe you just want to say to them, you know what, Frank talks about regret today, and I know where I've blown it, and I just wonder if you would pray with me. Maybe you just want to come up here up front and acknowledge your humanity and say, just by coming up here and by kneeling at this altar, this sort of safe and sacred place, I'm acknowledging that I need Jesus, that I've made mistakes, and that I want to move forward from that. And so we just want to kind of conclude today with a time of prayer and a time of confession where you can come. This is a safe place. We're safe people to do that with. Find someone who has a blue lanyard today and ask them to pray with you. Let's take inventory so that we can move forward. Let's stand and sing together.